In the following homily, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, the virtues of a priest.
Today on the feast of St. John Vianney, more popularly called the Cure of Ars, it seems most appropriate to speak about the priesthood which he so well exemplified. He has since, of course, been canonized and has been declared the heavenly patron of parish priests. He is a model for all priests to imitate. In order to identify the qualities of the priesthood that the Cure of Ars showed forth in his own life, they would be many, but especially these. A priest is a man of prayer. He is a man of sacrifice. And he is a man of untiring service of the people. A priest is a man of prayer. The Cure of Ars often spoke about prayer. His vocabulary was very limited, as we know. He barely got himself ordained. A standing rebuke to so many learned priests who are not priestly. He gave many simple descriptions of prayer. The one that I like best is when he said that prayer is simply union with God. A priest that is going to be the kind of a priest that the church wants and needs must be as constantly as possible united with God. The implication is that while he has been given great powers, God will use him for the purpose that Christ had in instituting the priesthood only if he is himself frequently united with God in prayer. Now this does mean, of course, the union with God in formal prayer, actually reciting the church's formularies, the divine office. Pray, by the way, that more and more priests might be faithful to the divine office. So that does mean the formal prayer when he recites the office, when he stands at the altar of God offering the holy sacrifice, when he makes what every priest should, his daily meditation. But he is especially a man of prayer when he is united with God in faith by believing all that God has revealed, so that his mind is united with the mind of God in faith. That's what faith is, the union of a created mind with the infinite mind of the revealing God. It also means that he is united in will by doing what God wants him to do. A priest, then, is a man of prayer. Here, then, how obvious this should be if he is a good priest, a man of sacrifice. Sacrifice, we know, is not mere suffering. It is not mere endurance of pain, because in this sense the whole world suffers. From the moment we are born and enter the world crying, to the moment we leave this life in a spasm of pain, suffering is man's lot on earth. Now, it's not mere suffering. It is suffering united with the will of God. It is suffering offered up. It is suffering accepted in expiation for sin. A priest, then, should be one who suffers as all others suffer. But he should make of whatever trials or difficulties that God puts into his life, and if he's a good priest, he will have plenty. He offers up these trials and problems and misunderstandings and opposition. He offers them up in union with the Christ whom he offers, daily, pray that every priest in good standing might offer Mass every day, so that then his sacrifices be joined with the sacrifice of Christ, made holy at the altar. But what bears emphasis, as I've told for now over 20 years in teaching priests and priests-to-be, this sacrifice that a priest should make is mainly the sacrifice of himself. That he offers up all of himself. His time is not his own. His convenience, his preferences, his ease. It is not what he wants, but what the Christ who ordained him wants. What a pity, as I have so often found in being on supply in rectories over the weekend for one or two Masses on a Sunday, depending on the parish, how few people, I repeat, depending on the parish, in some parishes, ever visit the rectory, ever call up. And on Sunday the church may be filled many times over. People instinctively recognize when a priest is willing to sacrifice himself for their sake. Of course they will impose on him. But that's another name for sacrifice. Being imposed on. Finally, a priestly priest is at the service of the people. He has been ordained, as he is told, long before his ordination of Alios, for others, not for himself. Now, there are many possible meanings to being at the service of the people. But the most important meaning is that he is at the service of their spiritual needs. All too many priests in our day sadly but logically, many no longer in the active priesthood. Oh, they got into service all right. Social, political, economic. May God have mercy on them. A priest's main function in serving the people is to serve their spiritual needs. Others are appointed by God for other needs. If a priest does other things instead of serving the deep spiritual, moral, supernatural needs of the people, he is neglecting his duty. No matter how busy he may seem to be, or how the media of our nation may canonize him, he is not a priest according to the mind of the church. The Curia of Ars knew this well. He spent up to 16 hours a day in the confessional. And you may be sure, as those attested who went to confession to him, he did not expedite their confession. They spent many a long time in the confessional. He knew, as every priest ought to know, that the purpose of the sacrament is not only to absolve, it is to advise, to console, to instruct, and to heal. The four terms that over the centuries have come down as the function of a priest in administering the sacrament of Christ's peace. But the cure knew, and every priest ought to know, that you also serve the people by preaching. St. John Vianney was no Bossuet, for they both came from the same country. His vocabulary was very limited. His learning was small. Yet, though the city or better village of Ars to this day is no metropolis, in his day it was an overgrown village. Tens of thousands, it is calculated upwards of 500,000 people annually came to Ars just to hear one sermon or go to confession to him once. What a lesson to priests today. Oh, but when he preached Christ and him crucified. One last observation, because in many ways the Cure is so well known for this. He served, shall we say, his flock. His flock was all those, by the time he died, hundreds of thousands of people who came to hear him and receive his words of consolation. He knew that if he's going to serve those people well, he must be a man who practices penance. That means mortification. All kinds. And some, when you talk about the Curia of Ars, when I give priests retreats, I can see how uncomfortable they are because the curé was famous for his penances. Well, he had his, but every priest should also have his. Mortification of the senses, mortification of the body, and what is so important, though it sounds odd, mortification of the spirit. If a priest looks at everything in sight, reads everything readable, enjoys everything enjoyable, how can he still expect God's grace to work through him in serving the souls for whom he was ordained? Let us ask this saint to obtain from God grace on today's priests. I don't believe the priesthood has been more tempted or seduced by the evil spirit ever as much as today. That priest might have the grace to resist the evil one, and that those who have strayed away from the great high priest and the good shepherd might find their way back into his arms. Saint John Vianney, pray for all priests. Pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.